Welcome to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on controls along with Summer tonight, helping out. Let's see. Starting with runoff elections. You might recall that last week I told you that the following day was the last day to early vote, that Saturday was election day, that we were having runoff elections for some people for HISD and HCCS. And I believe I made the comment in the course of that discussion that if you ever feel like your vote doesn't count, the absolute best time to make your vote count is in a runoff election like this one. And I will now give you an example of just how much your vote counted or would have counted because of the turnout. In HCCS trustee number 9, district number 9, there are a total of 99,109 registered voters. 1,903 turned out. That is a turnout of 1.92%, under 2% of registered voters. In the HISD trustee district 1, and this was a very heavily promoted one, I think, there is a total of 78,479 registered voters in the district. 5.25% turned out. So out of 76,000, you had 4,100 voters. And in HISD District 3, out of 55,222 registered voters, 1,492 ballots were cast. That is about 2.7% of registered voters. Now, I don't have to tell you guys how pathetic that turnout is, right? So, whatever we get on the school boards or the HCCS boards, you know, that's how we got it. Less than 6, less than 3, less than 2% of registered voters heard about it or cared. Now, anyone that has listened to my show at least knew about it. Whether you bothered to go out and vote, I'd be interested in hearing. Okay, so that's that bit of business. The Medicare window has closed. However, the Obamacare ACA window, open enrollment there lasts until December 15th. So 4 more days. The phone number is 800-318-2596, but you can find that number just by going to the website healthcare.gov. Our current regime likes to turn off that website for so-called maintenance as much as possible, but that phone number is supposed to be 24/7 and does appear on the website page even when the website itself is not fully functional. Open enrollment ends December 15th, so if you are in need of medical insurance, do look at that. Next item up. And by the way, the phone number is 713-526-5738. This is an open forum, as usual. Forgive me that. I may be doing a little sniffing here as the show proceeds. I do have topics that I throw out, and of course, you're not confined to those. You can respond to them or be inspired by them or come up with something totally different. One of the big news items this week has been that Trump intends to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And if you've been following the news, there are a lot of upset Muslims about that, and our allies in Europe are not happy about it, and our potential adversaries and competitors in Asia are not happy about it. And a lot of our people and a lot of Israelis are not happy about it. It just seems like a way to stir the pot without accomplishing anything. Now, to be fair, Trump claims that he's acting on a 1995 act of Congress that ordered the U.S. government to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and every 6 months since then, whoever was president has signed a waiver on doing that. It's also worth noting that Congress has ordered the president to, let's see, I forget exactly what the act was. I think it had to do, Bob, what was it that the Congress passed that the president signed that was supposed to be implemented by October 31st that the president simply hasn't bothered to implement? Do you remember offhand?
No, I don't have a clue.
Oh, well, in any case, since, you know, one of the things in the president's oath of office is to uphold the laws and Constitution of the United States, that's already an impeachable offense because that was supposed to happen by October 31st, and, you know, it's past October 31st. And there is no indication that whatever he's doing has, you know, that he is in any way implemented. Let's see. Alabama! Oh, sweet home Alabama. Okay, so we have a choice between the moderate Democrat Doug Jones and the serial child molester assaulter, allegedly, Roy Moore, the Republican. And I think one of the questions that I am reading that comes up is, will this election be determined by the years and years of racist and politically motivated voter suppression that has been intentionally done in Alabama by requiring photo ID and then closing the offices where photo ID can be obtained in many cases, in any county with a more than 75% black population, those offices were closed, making it much more difficult to get to a place where you can get a government-issued photo ID for voting. It's a form of suppression and poll tax, but, you know, we didn't renew the Voting Rights Act, so prove that we did something that is discriminatory. Or sometimes they take the Texas attorney general position. We didn't discriminate against people of color. We were just discriminating against Democrats because that makes it okay. Alabama, one of the poorest states in the union, and maybe it's time they wondered why. The New York subway attack shows the limits of counterterror strategy. That was an article from Reuters to the U.S. News and World Report. And I think it raises some legitimate questions. Are you alert to possible terrorist attacks in Houston airports, streets, and shops? What do you look for? Are you conscious? Are your eyes ever scanning? Are your ears ever listening? What does that alertness look like for you? Have you practiced in your head? What would you do if you saw or heard something? You know, it's kind of like rehearsing in your head what would happen if your house caught fire. It's one of those things that it's worth thinking about in advance and paying attention to, just as if you would think about what will you do if all of a sudden a robber walked into a coffee shop and you were there as a patron. I mean, it falls into that kind of area. Are you alert to it? Would you be able to anticipate it? What would you do if you did anticipate it? How would you act? These are all legitimate questions that I think all of us need to think about from time to time. You can call in and either have or expand on this conversation or talk about something entirely else. The phone number is 713-526-5738. We may have a caller. Do we have a caller, Bob? We have a caller without a name. Sounds like a Kansas song. Yes, caller, what is your name?
Jerry.
Jerry. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
All right, how you doing?
So what's on your mind?
Well, I think that your advice on that, as far as counterterrorism goes, is really, really good. You know, I think you can learn some things from the Israelis who have had to deal with that kind of stuff a lot more than we have. And some of the Israeli practices are pretty, they don't.
Now, are you talking about civilian practices or government-like police practices?
Well, both, actually.
Because I'm talking specifically too. About the person on the street.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, but that's actually a good idea and everything. You should know more. You know, you should try to be aware of what's going on around you.
I mean, it's what you would do just walking down a busy street in an unfamiliar neighborhood. You should be aware of your surroundings. And
yeah.
There isn't any public place these days where you shouldn't be aware of your surroundings. Just the awareness may be qualitatively different.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say that. And then I also wanted to talk, too, about Amazon here for a minute.
Okay.
You need to watch, people out there need to watch. Amazon really, I think, actually does make a serious effort to keep the reviews honest. But I can honestly say I reviewed, 20, 30 things on Amazon, and mostly books. And I can honestly say that, I can honestly say that I get emails occasionally from people who want me to do stuff for them, and it's not, they're not going through Amazon, but they want me to review it on Amazon.
What does that mean?
In other words, they want to, like, game the system, in essence. They're trying to, like...
In other words, you didn't buy a book on Amazon, but they want you to review it on Amazon, which Amazon
yeah.
counters by having a thing that says authorized purchaser.
Yeah.
So not every review is from someone who purchased it from Amazon, but arguably you don't have to purchase it on Amazon to give it an honest review, necessarily.
No, that's true, but I don't know. I just, like, asked myself, because I was asked to do the Vine thing one time. Actually, Amazon invited me to go, and I just thought, how legitimate is it to sit there and get something super cheap or for free, and you review it, and, you know, it just seems to me like, you know, it seems to me like inevitably, somehow or another, you're going to be biased one way or another. It seems like to me it would affect your, you know, somebody gives you something and asks you for a review, well, you know, do you really want to give it a bad review, even if it sucks?
In an ideal world, they shouldn't know that you are obtaining the product to review until you have reviewed it. And when you get a product for free, even if they tell you, we just want an honest review, you do, of course, A, have to disclose the circumstances under which you obtained the product. And, yes,
yeah,
there's potential.
Lots of people don't.
I've seen a lot of people that do. I can't speak to how many do not. But then the other thing is, if you get it from Amazon, let's say it's not an Amazon product. It's a product from ABC Company. And Amazon just wants to know what their customers may think of the product. I think that would potentially have less subtle emotional influence on me than if, let's say, ABC Company sent me a product of ABC Company and said, you don't have to pay for this, just review it honestly. And that is a conflict of interest.
Well, and, I mean, I don't even get, the last thing I got, which was today, didn't even sit there and say, do it honestly, you know, for your honest review. It just wants a review.
Hmm.
And everything. So, but anyway, like I said, I would.
That's instruction by implication.
Yeah, I just like, you know, just, you know, and nice stuff. Don't get me wrong. Free stuff is great and all that, and really cheap stuff is great. But, you know, you need to, like, take whatever you read on Amazon with a grain of salt.
I'm sorry, I lost you there.
I'm sorry, it's my fault. You need to watch whatever, you know, when you're reading the product reviews on Amazon, you need to take it with a grain of salt.
Well, what I try to do, I guess, sort of mind reading at a distance. If you have a few dozen reviews, what I have found is if, let's say, 20% of the reviews happen to touch on a specific kind of problem, as a general rule, because people are more prone to complain than not, so I do factor that in. But if they keep zeroing in on a specific problem, and you see it not only in the older reviews, which I don't take as seriously, but also in the newer reviews, so they've had a chance to correct whatever the problem is, I will take that into serious consideration. But, you know, it's always, It's also a matter of how this product compares to other products. You know, do they have more problems? Do they have fewer problems? Should I buy nothing right now? Should I wait? Should I look elsewhere? I mean, all of these things go into the consideration. So I like to think that to the extent that those reviews are in some way manipulated or not entirely honest, I like to feel that the numbers tend to make up statistically, you know, that the, how can I phrase this, that the numbers of honest reviews, good or bad, tend to minimize or diminish the effects of the fake reviews, good or bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There is that kind of dilution, but, you know, sometimes you're the only person reviewing something. I mean, there's stuff that's, like, you know, been out there for a gajillion years, and I don't know, several times I've reviewed books that, you know, never have been reviewed. And you know, they're books that have been around for, you know, like a really, really, really long time, like decades or even a century, and you know, you review it, and, you know, yours is the only review there, and it may be the only review there for a while.
Well, you know, again, as a potential customer, I would look at that product review and look at the fact that it's only one review, and I would simply weigh it as just one person's opinion, which I may or may not agree with, because there's really no other way to view it. It's mildly informative, but not very informative.
Yeah.
You can't weigh it as one of many.
Yeah, that's just it. And everything. I think you're right, though. The numbers on a lot of stuff that's popular, you know, if 3,000 people say something is great, you know, have given it 5 stars, then, you know, you can relatively safely bet that it's probably pretty dang good.
And my experience doing what I do the way I do it has so far been pretty good. So I've been fairly satisfied with whatever it is mechanism that's going on in my head that makes these choices.
Yeah. Well, like you said, and I've done one of the things you said before, which is like whenever on an older review, if it said there was a problem with it, then I have gone forward and actually checked out newer reviews and everything. And that is a great idea. But I've actually done that for myself, and all that. You know, you want to check and make sure that they corrected whatever it was. You know, a lot of the e-books I get, you know, the way the pages are arranged and all that is wrong. And, you know, the formatting isn't right on it. Mm-hmm. And, it makes it tough to read, or if not, it's flat out impossible to read.
In other words, it's poorly edited, amateurishly written.
Yeah, but it's also not recorded right when they transfer all that information into a computer file. They don't do it in a way to make it, you know, nobody's paying attention to the readability issue and everything. And
well, ultimately that should fall to the author. You know, the author, as they say, should look at the galleys or the virtual galleys and
yeah,
make
but it's not.
Go ahead.
It's not their fault on the e-books, usually.
I don't know. It's always somebody's fault.
There's lots of problems with that stuff, and that comes up because it's an e-book, and they didn't put the information in right, or whatever. They didn't, you know, it wasn't set up right. And
okay, Jerry, I'm going to ask you to wrap up so I can go on to the next caller. Anything you want to finish up with?
No, that's it. I think that's enough for right now. Thanks.
Okay. I appreciate your calling as always. Take care.
Yep. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner and Summer are on the controls. And if you want to help support Free Speech Radio, KPFT, there are numerous ways you can do it. You can call in during our various fundraisers. You can call 713-526-4000 and pledge during the business day. You can go to kpft.org and click on donate and hopefully choose this show as the target of your donation. And you can text. You can text a donation. What could be easier? 41444. Just remember that number. 41444. Just remember it. Sing it. And you can donate any amount. We have some fixed amounts as well as choose your own. And it will interact with you so that you can make a very, very easy donation. You know, if you're sitting waiting for fast food, if you're sitting in a movie theater waiting for the movie to start, if you're just getting ready to take your car out of the parking lot before you move your car, just 41444, for whatever that's worth, 41444. I don't know if that's going to be a catchy tune or not. Give it a try. See how that works for you. You can also go to my website, thinkwingradio.com. You can always find notes for the shows that I'm doing any given day. I keep them going back to my first show, May 10th of, 2010. By the way, this week is the fourth anniversary of Think Wing Radio on KPFT, so I think that's pretty cool. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Think Wing Radio. So next up, and I should give out the phone number one more time because we have open lines, 713-526-5738. Next up is M.O.D. M.O.D., thanks for waiting. How you doing tonight?
Hey, evening, Mike.
What's up?
What was the other number for?
713-526-4000 is one way you can donate money during business hours.
Nice.
So you can call the business number, the main number. You can go to kpft.org and click on donate. You can text with your smartphone to 41444.
Wow, that's
we'll see okay. If we can popularize okay. that melody, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna wake up tomorrow whistling that.
Maybe someone can come up with something better.
You get Manning. We'll be doing it next, right? Peyton Manning, those commercials. Is on your side? I'm sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway. So what's up? What's on your mind?
I'm just reading up on Mueller's because I wanted to get some kind of substantial seriousness about Mueller's investigation of Michael.
The son. Michael.
Michael Flynn.
Well, there's Michael T. Flynn, who is the father.
Okay.
And then there's a Michael F. Flynn or something, and that's the son, the so-called namesake.
So the one that was taken out, Michael, General Michael, retired General Michael.
The one that pleaded guilty,
Correct. So Mueller, you know, did interrogate him, and part of his plea bargain captured was a phone call on the 22nd of December 2016, and we don't hear about this in the news. It's interesting. Trump's transition team, which basically at the helm is Jared Kushner, telling Flynn to, you know, contact all these people in the United Nations Security Council to vote against the two-state solution for Israel, to delay it or, you know, not vote for it. You don't hear about that.
I've heard something about it. It sounds familiar. I mean, there's so much to sort through. It's hard to remember it all.
But it's interesting that we have Kushner telling Flynn to call all these other nations and, you know, the Security Council to delay or, you know, it passed. It was something that I think Obama tried to push for when he left office, and that was what he got flack from Israel about.
What was the specific policy again, do you recall?
That is in question here? The resolution, you know, let's see.
Was it a two-state solution resolution?
Yeah, that's right. That's
And Obama was basically for it.
Yes, right. Very good.
Okay.
And so that's the story. I got two articles here on trying to find the United Nations number to it. But, yeah, that's it. And this has been going on since Reagan, I think. All the presidents, even Pappy Bush. You know, all the previous presidents in the last 25 years, 30 years have.
Well, I think the logic impels one to look at the options, and there's either a one-state solution or a two-state solution.
Well,
the two-state solution gives the Palestinians a place to be that isn't Israel. A one-state solution means that Israel either has to absorb the Palestinians, who have a higher birth rate, so demographic suicide eventually, or they would have to take over that territory and then drive the Palestinians out, kind of a la what Uganda did to non-Ugandans, Chinese Ugandans, Indian Ugandans, back when Idi Amin was in power.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. So, you know, when you look at one state or two state, you then have to look at the ramifications of each. And a one-state solution, while it may be unpalatable, and I use the term advisedly, not pejoratively, to the Israeli imperialists who want to reconstitute ancient Israel, but you then look at what the necessary, inevitable, unavoidable consequences would be of doing that. You would either have to have a suppressed people a la South Africa, or you would have to have an expelled people a la Uganda. Those would be the only two choices in a one-state solution.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Mike. I didn't think about, going with the one-state. It's a Security Council Resolution 2334, which unanimously passed on December 23rd. So it should be called Russiagate or Israelgate because it shows, Bibi telling Jared to tell Flynn to start calling people on the 22nd of last year, December last year, to, don't do this, right? And so that's to me sounds more like a collusion with another country, not Russia alone.
No. I'm going to say something about the term collusion. Trump's lawyers have made the argument that there is no crime of collusion, and therefore none of the Trump people can be guilty of a crime of collusion. And from what I have read, that is essentially true. However, if you read and I haven't read it in detail, but if you read the Mike Flynn indictment, mm-hmm. he is accused of conspiracy with a foreign government.
It sounds like it's not just Russia now.
Well, the thing, it was Russia, Russia or Turkey. But the point is that conspiracy with a foreign government, that is a crime. That is worded in crime language. Collusion is not.
Well, you know what I'm alluding to then, right? That, we're looking all at Russia when actually you're getting the marching orders from Bibi, who sleeps in Jared Kushner's bed 2 times this year upstate New York. So that means Ivanka, whatever, and Jared sleeping in the room when Bibi was in town 2 times this year. So Bibi's telling Jared, and Jared's telling Flynn.
Bibi and Jared sitting in a tree, KISSING.
I mean, it's crazy, man. The lobbying that, and Jared's over there with Salman, the new guy for Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, I think I'm familiar.
Yeah, so I mean.
I think that they abbreviate him as BSM or something like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, so Salman is the new guy that's cleaning house over there in Saudi Arabia, and it's a full rush. And so, yeah, that the pinch, I'm going to try to stay on topic about Jared, yep. his influence to get General Michael Flynn to go to conspire to get all these other countries in the Security Council to veto or go against the two-state solution that the U.S. has been backing since Reagan, or if not before. And so I think that is just as serious. But I do believe that the Trumps did work with Russia on the election, but it's not to what? To release that Clinton's doing bad things? I mean, that's exhausted. I don't want to beat that dead dog, but I'm just saying it looks like there's other stuff going on than just Trump's transition team or whatever that was working and conspire with Russia. There's another country involved here.
There are several countries. I mean, Russia's the most prominent, but Turkey is obviously another one. Turkey may have been a stalking horse for Russia in terms of the people that were working in Turkey may have been actually been working for Russia. They're Russia associated. You have individuals in Cyprus who appear to have been laundering Russian money through banks of Cyprus. Yeah, this thing is big. It is absolutely an octopus with numerous tentacles.
It may be
nanopus. It may be a nanopus. This has a lot of tentacles.
But Turkey is NATO, okay? And the coup that happened earlier was when the guy at Turkey fled, and he got he didn't flee. He was flying, and he was a coup almost in Turkey. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yes.
And he came back, and
Okay, you're talking about the guy who's in Pennsylvania in the Poconos. He did not escape Turkey to the Poconos. He was already in the Poconos. They simply said that from a distance, he was orchestrating the coup.
Right. Well, he's here in the States, and Turkey's actually NATO, because that's what we're doing with Syria right now.
They are the worst NATO ally ever.
Was we on a flight, and that's the coup. That's when the coup occurred. So he made it back, and he did a Hugo Chavez, right? He got back to the country, and he started getting rid of everybody, right? He kicked out.
Oh, you're talking about Erdogan.
Yeah.
Erdogan.
Yeah, I mean, Erdogan, thank you. And Erdogan just cleaned house, right? So he's trying, but he's still under the behest of NATO.
Erdogan, if you want to get an idea of where Trump hopes to go in a year or two, look at Erdogan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying.
And if you want to see where Erdogan might go in a year or two, look at Putin.
I think it's a smoke and mirror, Mike, and we got a lot of crap going on with the guy, Saudi Arabia, and everything that's going on in those countries in the Central Asia right now are being blown up right now, and here's Trumpster trying to build that tempo. I mean the temple. And that's going to invoke more strife.
I'm sorry,
right?
the temple, you mean like in Jerusalem?
Right.
No, so far there's no indication that that's in the cards. All he's talking about is moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, evangelists, Christian evangelists, look to the rebuilding of the temple as another sign of the end times, if it should occur, which essentially just makes them sort of Christian ISIS end-of-the-worlders.
I'm sorry, I had to say the word, but you don't hang up on me. They're Christian Zionists.
No, actually, Zionism is a different thing from apocalyptic. Zionism is not an apocalyptic belief system. Zionism is a Jewish homeland belief system.
But
they're not the same.
You know who John Hagee is, right? John Hagee. He's a reverend from San Antonio.
Doesn't ring a bell, but that
he's a big old guy, and he preaches this apocalyptic, ending, and he's considered a Christian Zionist. In 2005, there was really a hard push for this Armageddon crap.
Well, I really want to make a distinction between Zionism and apocryphalism, because there are a great many Christians who support Israel not because they have some love for the Jewish people or they believe that the Jewish people have been assaulted long enough over history to deserve a homeland. They want a country of Israel because it is a part of what they believe is a fulfillment of prophecy. That if the state of Israel is established, if the Jews can be converted to Christianity, if the king of the north and the king of the south and the Antichrist and the returned Christ can, get into this Armageddon battle. All of this is really just a different flavor of what ISIS believes.
I'm
going to let you wrap up because I have to go. I'm sorry. I'm going to let you wrap up because it's been about 12, 13 minutes.
Oh, well, no, you let me talk. I was just going to say Ralph Reed and Casino Jack Abernoff and Grover Norcrest and all those K-Street boys of 2005 and Cockroach Man, the Hammer Delay. They were in San Antonio for middle of 2000 during that run there, K Street, and they were like bedfellows with the folks that are, I'm talking about. And to hear their plans and how they're going to use the Christian narrative to push backing another narrative is what I'm trying to allude to, but I'll leave you with this. So the ISIS caliphate is new. Radical Islam is not what was part of the Ottoman Empire, none whatsoever. And so this is a startup creation. This is the new boogeyman. And we ought to know that there are 30,000 of them in 2012 because they're on Bandar's payroll.
Well, I think we're drifting into what would be another lengthy discussion.
We're all over the place, but Mike, I just wanted to talk about Trumpster's Jared Kushner thing there with you.
Okay, well, we can pick up on another aspect of this next week.
Thanks for the talk.
Okay, thank you, M.O.D. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig at KPFT 90.1 FM, Free Speech Radio. Bob Gartner is on controls. And I do want to point out that this is kind of a programming note. On Christmas night, December 25th, we are going to be preempted by a special edition of The Prison Show. So look for that. And then the following week after New Year, I'll be back. If you want to follow me on my blog site, you can go to thinkwingradio.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can go to at thinkwingradio. If you want to help support Free Speech Radio at KPFT, you can text 4144. 41444. 41444 on your smartphone, and it will interact with you for how much you wish to contribute. Contributions are potentially tax deductible depending on how you file your taxes. And you can also go to kpft.org and support the station that way. Okay, Tony, you are on the air. Thanks for being patient.
No problem. I'm happy to do it. You know, Mike, I had to tell you something real quick. I think some of your callers, I think they're just chilling with a little wacky view, because the first two callers you had, I didn't follow any of those conversations at all.
The
thing I like about you is you're an expert on all of it. Buying this, this, and all this stuff. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, then he's talking about Pastor Hagee and ISIS. And I'm thinking, what is all this? Where is it going to?
Well, I think that, you know,
talking about e-books and so forth. I mean, a grown man, talking about e-books.
Well, now people, now keep in mind, Tony, this is an open forum.
No,
I throw out a lot of stuff.
It's kind of funny to me.
I'm sorry, say again, please.
It's kind of funny to me.
Hey, it's hysterical to me. You know, I once came in with a whole show planned, and just in the course of driving to the studio, I just began to get really annoyed at the parking situation in my neighborhood, which is mostly ditches.
Right.
And that ended up taking over the show. In spite of all the preparation I had made, the show was about parking inside the loop.
Well, but that's something that is relevant to people in Houston. But the last conversation you had about Israel and all this kind of thing, I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with anything that, you know, most people dealt with today. Here in Houston.
Well, can I respond to that?
Well, yeah, it's your show. Go ahead.
I think that there are immediate concerns, like the fact that we had a runoff election where none of the candidates received more than a total of, or none of the elections received a total of more than 5% of the registered voters. So I think that's locally relevant.
Nobody's talking about that yet.
I'm sorry?
Nobody's talked about that.
Well, that's why I was talking about it. I try to talk about things that aren't taken over the airwaves.
Yeah.
I think when you start talking about Israel and Palestine and the Middle East, and you start talking about...
you could talk about that from now the heck freezes over. Those people have been fighting since the beginning. All they ever do is fight over there.
But
we talk about Israel and Palestine, it's about fighting.
Politics...
I've never seen a commercial on television, a tourism commercial, that some beautiful lady says, come to Israel for our fine beaches and cuisine. I've never seen anything that says, come to Palestine, come to, you know, because all those people do over there is fight all the time.
Well, the
they
fact
do
is that
but fight.
Palestine,
do.
Palestine doesn't really have tourism infrastructure because of
Palestine,
all the constraints. Let me answer your question, I guess, as best
it's
I can.
Like they're fighting right now over, but I'm not Jewish, sir, and I'm not that. I'm not overly religious and wear, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's all Greek to me. I'll admit.
Well,
that.
Let me put it this way: all of us have a variety of interests. We have local,
of course.
We have local interests on which we might be able to have some kind of impact or not.
Right.
We have national interests that we're trying to process in our minds that we might be able to have some impact or not through possibly elections or protesting or letter writing or whatever.
Right, right, yeah, sure.
We have international concerns, international issues
right.
that we're trying to make sense of, because while they may not affect our lives, they could have dramatic effects in our lives, and we're trying to wrap our heads around that. You know, it really comes down to being a well-informed person as opposed to a parochial-minded person.
John, well, I just wanted to mention, I mean, we had a guy in New York City, one of our largest cities in the United States, 27-year-old person who came here a few years ago on a family visa from third world country, and a taxi driver, like we don't need enough of those in America. And now this guy wants to make a homemade bomb, go down to the train station where thousands of people, New Yorkers, are trying to go to work and trying to live their lives and trying to do the things they need to do here in the United States, and blows himself up accidentally, which turned out to be better than him blowing up some innocent person.
It turned out he was very bad at bomb making, which is a good
thing.
Well,
yeah, but my question is this. First of all, here we go again. How the heck did he get in this country? Number one, he's 27 years old. I mean, obviously, he's probably very, hopefully, he's literate.
From what I read, he came into the country. From what I read, he came into the country about 7 years ago.
Yeah,
I forget which country he came from.
Here's a 27-year-old guy in America, which is what I know is a lot better than living in Bangladesh. And he can't just mind his own business and try and live without hurting somebody who's done absolutely nothing to him and really has no concern over what his political views are about Christmas. This is the United States of America. This is not Bangladesh.
But to be fair, we've had more domestic terrorism than terrorism by foreign actors.
That is so true. But today it wasn't
domestic.
A terrorist that is not a domestic terrorist.
But I think
tomorrow we might have a domestic. But today we had this guy.
But I
if
think
we
if
we don't like it here, let him go.
But
back
I
to
think
Bangladesh
if we are going to, but. Tony, I think if we are going to keep these individual attacks in context, we can't always just blow off the domestic ones and focus on the foreign ones.
I'm not blowing off the domestic one. Which domestic attack do you want to talk about? The guy who killed 59 people in Vegas? I'll talk about that.
And wounded about 500.
What was his situation? Okay, we can talk about the guy that killed all the people in the small town here in Texas. Yeah, we can talk about those domestic white terrorist. Yeah, we can talk about that. Not a problem. I'm more than willing to talk about that. We can talk about the white terrorist that killed those kids at Sandy Hook. We can talk about them.
Well, the recent one that attacked an elementary school, and just by the grace of God, nobody was really seriously hurt.
Or the one that killed in New Mexico that killed the two students and killed himself.
Yes.
We could talk about them.
We can talk about that.
I have no problem with that.
And that's all I'm asking.
People, but I'm talking about the guy.
This guy. And this guy was the reason that I raised the question of being aware of your surroundings.
Right.
Rolling in your head. What would you do if?
I do that every day. I know you don't believe that, but I do that.
No, I do believe it because I do it every day.
I do it every day.
I do it when I'm in an airport.
Now, I do not have a concealed weapons permit, and I do not carry a firearm.
Neither do I.
But if I did, I would be prepared to use it everywhere I go. If I go to a gas station in broad daylight, you see what happened to this poor man just the other night. He went to sell his car, and they found his body stabbed multiple times.
Yeah.
Now, do you honestly?
That happens.
He was a nice family man. He had no idea that the United States was as sick as it is. That's why he trusted someone to take his car at night to meet someone, and now he's dead.
Well,
you couldn't pay me $1 million to do something like that.
But that comes back to having enough situational awareness.
Which he didn't have.
Which he did not have.
Yeah.
Someone in his family could have had it. Someone in his family could have said, why don't you wait until tomorrow at daylight and meet them in a public place?
They could have.
So, I mean, these things certainly are unfortunate. Nothing justifies it. But it does come back to all of us should rehearse in our minds.
I do that. I do that every day.
When I'm in an airport,
my mind every day.
When I am in an airport, I am looking for places to go if there is a shooter.
And when I go to ATB and walking through the parking lot, I'm 6'4". I can see over a lot of things.
Mm.
I'm looking all around me in that parking lot, broad daylight, because I want to see what's going on around me.
Yep. You can't just focus your eyes forward. You have to swivel your head.
Around me. That's why I'm, thank God, I'm still alive. Now, you see what happened just the other day on Westheimer. I live right down the block from on Westheimer, Derry Ashley. These two men are shooting each other right on Westheimer, shooting at each other. And a bullet grazed an innocent bystander.
Mm.
That's broad, open daylight in Houston, Texas, on a major street. These two men are shooting at each other. And I drive past that place 100 times a day. I live right down the street.
And the moral of that story is the more guns there are in the public does not make us safer.
Well, of course not.
Tony, I'm going to...
But that ship has sailed years
I know.
ago.
I'm going to ask you to wrap up so I can move on to my last two
calls.
No,
I'm done now. I want you to go ahead because I don't want to take up too much time. But yeah, they need to send him back over. Obviously, after he gets out of prison, send him back to Bangladesh. They need to do away with all of these relatives, sending for more relatives and more relatives and more. We need a Canadian-based immigration. They're based on education, profession, and professional abilities is one of the main ingredients as to how to get in the United States.
That is one of the
because
visa
better
types,
educated
yes.
people, better educated people are better are more reliable to be the kind of people that can assimilate into our culture into the United States, and we won't have this problem.
I actually think that there is evidence from the past that just because they are educated immigrants does not make them safe immigrants. Got to let you go, Tony.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Take care. Mm-hmm. Okay, listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM. I believe Gary is going to be up next. If you want to help support KPFT Radio, you can go to kpft.org. You can text to 41444. Eventually, I'll get a tune attached to that that maybe will be catchy. Or you can call during business hours, 713-526-4000, and you can make a donation on the phone that way. And there are a lot of different ways you can support KPFT. Okay, so Gary, we have about 10 minutes, so I can give you about 4 or 5, and then I can give Johnny about 4 or 5.
Am I on?
You are on.
Well, Mr. Honig, it's
yes, sir.
Your lucky day.
Oh, my.
Everybody calls you to vent and express and ask your opinion.
That's what I'm here for.
Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask me anything you want to know about religion, philosophy, politics, and I'm willing to help you answer your questions. Do you have any questions?
I'll tell you a question that has been on my mind since we spoke about the assisted living topic. Can I ask you something about that?
Absolutely.
As a result of that show, do you feel you obtained any useful information that maybe you didn't have before on what kind of a path you may have to the kind of security you want?
Not really. They were very helpful and very informative, but it was mostly financial, and I have bigger problems. But I'm talking about the situation in Israel, the situation with the ongoing evangelical post-apocalyptic issues, the politics. The philosophy of, is there anything you need to know? And I'm not being facetious.
I'm sure there's a great deal I need to know, but of course, thinking of the question is sometimes the hardest part of the question. So why don't you throw something out at me, something that you would like me to know.
Here's a question for you, which was what I was trying to avoid. But, you know, the word demos is Greek, all right? And it means, you know what a kakistocracy is, right? It is the opposite of aristocracy, rule by the worst.
Okay.
We're living in a kakistocracy right now. But demos means people, as in demographics, as in democratic.
And there is a demos democratic think tank.
All right. Now, if demos means rule by the people, and they decided in Congress that everybody in America who was not colored or was not Catholic or was not blonde-haired couldn't vote, then that wouldn't be a democracy. So how is Israel, where you have to be of the Jewish faith, a democracy.
That, because that is a fundamentally untrue statement.
Thank you. Okay, because it's not true. That
it is not true. You have Palestinian Arab Israelis who are citizens. There are, and I'm not saying that they have the same voice. They are outnumbered by design.
But they're allowed to vote.
They're allowed to vote. They're allowed to run for office. They're allowed to hold office. I have a friend here who is a Palestinian Israeli. We've had some interesting conversations. I am not unsympathetic to the kind of life that the Palestinians are living in the occupied territories. I'm not unsympathetic to that. But there's also the aspect of the minority of Palestinians have created that scenario for them with violence, and then Israel responds by trying to protect itself.
Excuse me, I think it started in 1947 when they ceded what was English territory called Trans-Palestine to...
Trans-Jordan.
Okay, and to the Jewish people, and they said, hey, you get a... You remember, you do remember the...
The Balfour Declaration.
Well, also, but I mean, what was the name of the famous general that kicked everybody out of Palestine, which is why we have quote-unquote Palestinian refugees in Lebanon and Jordan. What was his name? And it was basically ethnic cleansing.
Well, there were a mixture of Israeli freedom fighters, some of whom...
The point is that it is in Israel's interest to have a two-state solution.
I'm sorry, say that. I think you're drifting around on me. Say that again.
It is in Israel's interest to have a two-state solution.
Yeah, I think I said that earlier.
Exactly. And why don't they want it? Is it pure greed?
I think, well...
That they would rather have constant war for 45 years than to just get it over with.
In a pre-World War II era, when empires were still considered politically respectable, a small Israeli empire taken at the disadvantage of the local Arabs, the world wouldn't have really thought twice about it.
It's but, like, you know, Israel has had some issues with the Philistines, and they had some issues with some of the other... I mean, this has been going on...
You know, you made a very interesting statement right now. Instead of Palestinians, you said Philistines, and the way they refer to themselves in their language is Philistina. They are Philistines.
That's exactly right, because, you remember, Israel's were... the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt, and they came back to the Promised Land, and then there was war...
With the Philistines, and they are the descendants of the Philistines, you know, for what that matters, but that's the word they use in their own language to describe themselves, as Philistina.
My point is, why don't the Israeli people, as educated and intelligent and as modern as they are... What reason would they have not to resolve this issue? I don't get it.
Why did we elect Trump?
To have two states.
But the answer is the same as why did we elect Trump? The majority of our people are not pro-Trump. The majority of Americans don't agree with his policies, his statements, his personality, the people he's hiring for his departments. And yet, here we are.
We're back to democracy.
We're back to democracy.
We're back to the bell curve.
But to work, democracy must have participation. And when you have things
what is your logo for your show? An educated populace is necessary.
Well, that isn't my logo, but one of my statements is that an educated electorate is a prerequisite for democracy. And we're going to have to wrap up so I can get to Johnny.
We're not educated, are we?
Not enough of us.
And you know what they call the state of Alabama these days?
I'm going to let you say it, whatever it is. I'm not going to say it.
Alabama.
What is it?
Talibama.
Taliban.
Yeah.
Well,
isn't that the same thing? These evangelicals are no different than the
Taliban. I am not going to speak to that because I am going to... I try to be receptive to both sides, at least conversationally. I will say
Alabama,
this. If you follow me on Facebook and you follow me on Twitter, you're going to find that I'm a little more sharp than I am on the air. On the air, I try to be a whole lot more balanced. I'm going to have to let you go. I want to get to Johnny for the last couple of minutes here.
Good old Johnny. I wouldn't listen to this show if it weren't for Johnny.
Okay, then great. You're going to have your moment. Take care, Gary.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, Johnny, Bob is going to put you on the air. You're not on the air yet. You are on the air now. How you doing, Johnny?
Oh, okay.
Done better, done worse. To answer Gary's question, if I heard him correctly on this fuzzy magic jack connection of mine, I think the reason why the Israelis are the way they are is pretty simplistic. It's a geography, lack of, and they got the power, they got the backing of the U.S., so why not sit on the Palestinians and concrete and bulldoze and tear up their olive oil, their olive trees and all that stuff? That's what it comes down to, geography, lack of real estate.
Well, it's more complicated than that. You know, it all depends on where you want to start reading your history. If you want
that's
to start reading...
answer. That's my simplistic answer. Because humans, basically, their ultimate motive is their stomach, their bottom line.
Well,
and you can hide behind religion as an excuse, but at the end of the day is, I got mine, now you try to get it back from me.
Well, I mean, we can take this back. I've said repeatedly, I think that we're just fighting a 100-year version, that's a 100-year war that started in 1914. That's been my statement for quite a while, and a lot of what's going on, I think, has to do with the disruption of the world order that was a result of the First World War. But be that as it may, you can start history at any point that you want. I'm going to choose to start history after 1945 in this case. Where
I would mildly disagree with you and say not from 1914 forward, but from 1820 forward.
Okay, that's another discussion. I've only got, actually, 30 seconds, so I'm out of time.
In my last 30 seconds, I want to put this in.
No, I have 30 seconds. I'm going to give you, like, five.
Okay, let's just say this then. Why is it that in Alabama, the sheriff officers don't seem to enforce child sex registration?
I cannot answer that question, but it's a good question to leave the show on, so thank you. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM. I will leave you with this thought relative to runoff elections, that bad politicians are sent to Washington by good people who don't vote, attributed to William E. Simon, Secretary of Treasury under Ronald Reagan. Have a great week. I will be back next week. I'll speak to you Monday. Bye-bye.
Mercy House is a shelter for survivor victims of domestic violence and abuse. They can come in with their pets, no reptiles, and we have resources and information to help those women. So if you or somebody that you know is going through domestic violence and abuse, you can call 1-800-403-6120 and we will be glad to help you either with shelter or other resources. If you or somebody that you know is outside of the state of Texas and you need help, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. These are the numbers that you can quickly call to get the help that you need. I see this hotline as a line of hope. Never feel alone.
When you purchase the latest TV, tablet, or smartphone, don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your